Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Rebecca. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. I said I'm an outlaw.
Yes, he's an outlaw. He's back with Death Conversations. Our star of the show, Mr. John Dilley on the Green Ideas Radio Network. Good evening, Mr. Dilley. How are you?
I'm doing quite fine, sir.
Well, that's good. I'm going to try not to screw up the show this week. Last week we had a little technical difficulties, which is kind of par for the course on Greg and Ivy's radio, but I think everything's working. I don't have to chase any firemen down. I won't be screwing anything up. I'll just go sit in the corner and be quiet unless you need me. I see you have a great guest tonight from all the way up in the northern areas of Canada, so I'll shut up and let you do your show.
Yes, go sit on your hands, darling.
I will later.
Well, hello, folks. We'll start off with our weekly shout-out to the band that makes the intro music possible. Once again, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Well, welcome back to Def Conversations, broadcasting from the Def Con Sources compound, located deep under a well-known Superfund site located here in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. Yes, pestiferous is the word of the night. We've got a very interesting show on deck tonight. I got another grade-A prime guest, no pun intended, and this one actually grew up with blood on her hands. Our guest is also the first we've had had on from the Great White North. Man, I got a Bob and Doug McKenzie reference in my head right now. Anyway, this week we're finally back to normal with the farmers markets until next week when we screw it all up again with another event. Labor Day weekend, the markets are kind of like crapshoots. Cloudy days are usually the best for sales. That being said, Saturday did not cooperate. It was gorgeous out at the Allendale show, but we did okay. Chester, however, started out with crappy weather, but turned out kind of nice, and we actually came close to a sales record for that market. The market ended at 3 p.m. While loading up the DEFCON gastro assault vehicle after the show. At exactly 3:10, the sky opened up for a deluge of biblical proportions. The only thing missing were falling toads. I haven't seen a storm like that in many years. I actually witnessed lightning striking a tree about 50 feet from the truck, and plenty of near misses from flying tree parts. Real fun stuff. Anyway, we'll not be doing any farmers market next weekend, as the Chester one is closed for a huge annual craft fair, and Saturday will be one of the biggest shows we do every year. Okay, that brings this up. In 3 days, the epic outdoor show will take place at William DeLong Park, deep in the heart of Bowers, Pennsylvania. It's the 19th annual Chili Pepper Festival. I've mentioned the show for the last couple of weeks, but now it's time to start planning on going. This show is one of our absolute favorites we do every year, and the turnout is always fantastic. Well over 100 of some of the most well-known manufacturers of all things hot and spicy will be in attendance, selling the various wares. There are also a bunch of food vendors, live bands, etc. Pretty much something for everybody, really. I mean, honestly. It'll take place Friday, September 5th. And Saturday, September 6th. Both days are from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Before the show opens, I've mentioned this before, you can also hop on one of their buses and take a ride to the nearby pepper fields and pick as many peppers as you want for a stupidly low price. The fields boast the hottest of the hot peppers out there, but be warned, get there early. Other field visitors are like bipedal locusts. Check the website for exact pepper field excursion times and for more info about the show at pepperfestival.com. Now, if you're anywhere near Pennsylvania this coming Friday and Saturday and you're a fan of the spicier side of life, put this on your calendar. It's only a couple bucks for the admission, and it's going to take you all day to check out the whole show. Once again, the website is pepperfestival.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. Okay, we're going to go on to the quick topic for the evening. This is kind of a lead-in for the guest. Being part of the food industry for nearly a decade, I've really gotten to meet quite a number of the food-centric people at the hundreds of events we've done over the years, from championship chili cook-offs to fire department pig roasts to, you know, large-scale professional trade shows. I found the eclecticism fantastic. One trend that kind of solidly runs directly through this line of food creationists and manufacturers is their unbridled culinary curiosity. I can honestly say that virtually every manufacturer I've met at the various events we've done, besides making products to put on various store shelves or into restaurant kitchens, they all share one trait in particular, a true insatiable desire to experiment in the kitchen, seeking out new and exciting tastes to share with others. I know I love the kitchen since I was a little kid, and I share this passion with a ton of others out there, including our guest tonight. Another angle on their passion for food is checking out as many different types of food as they can at different eating places, no matter where they go. Wherever they go, there's always a local specialty. It's their job to check it out. Again, this brings us to our guest this evening. Here's the lead-in. Our guest contacted me a couple weeks ago asking if she could be on the show. After perusing her website, well, I was convinced she had to be on. Her name is Melinda Paletta. Also known to many as the Butcher's Daughter. Born in Montreal, she currently resides in Burlington, Ontario. Her website, dabutchersdaughter.ca, is an excellent website and truly shows off the incredible passion this woman has for all things edible, especially Southern cuisine. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, this does sound a little odd, though, doesn't it? Canadians whose primary food love is Southern cuisine. Well, perhaps that's because she worked in her family's slaughterhouses for many of her formative years in Virginia and Missouri. Kind of makes sense now, doesn't it? She is also a major foodie, not in a hipster douchey kind of way, but as a true and honest lover of food. She'll be the first to check out at a new eating place that she overheard in conversation or just stop by a place that looks a little rough around the edges, which are the places, as we all know, that usually have the best food. Her write-ups and reviews reflect someone with a very discerning palate. Anyway, let's bring Melinda on here and get an idea what makes her tick. Hey, Melinda, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Oh, not a problem at all. Now, I love the title you give yourself. You consider yourself to be a gourmet culinarian. I find the term awesome. What is your definition of a gourmet culinarian?
A gourmet culinarian is someone who's constantly experimenting with different cuisines, but also learning at the same time.
You can never know at all. That's absolutely right. Now, your background is about as unique as they come. When we spoke on the phone a little while back, I knew I was talking to someone with a serious interest in all things edible, and we're going to dive right into this. Now, are you ready for a few questions?
I am, sir.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll ever be 100% ready, but I'm ready.
Oh, you'll do fine. You'll do fine. As I ask everyone who comes on here, the first question, what got you into the whole food thing? I mean, there had to be something to trigger it off. What was it?
Oh, John, I'm Italian for one.
Okay.
Always did lots and lots of parties. My parents did more or less. And it just was growing up with so many things. My mother used to cook. My aunts used to cook. They'd bring them over. We'd try them. We grew up with that. It's all about food and family. And
right.
It just stuck with me.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's a nice short and sweet. Now, you were born in Canada, and then kind of fell into love with the Southern cuisine thing. What was it about the – I mean, you said you grew up in, like, Italian. I can imagine, like, a whole bunch of Italian food in the house. But you kind of switched gears. I mean, what was it about Southern cuisine that pretty much did it for you? There had to be something that really triggered that as well. I mean, because Italian and Southern are, like, totally polar opposites.
Oh, they are. They are. I can honestly say to that, when I moved out – to the States, out in the southern area, it was a bit of a culture shock for me. And like anything, any normal foodie, they go out, they got to try it, whether it be fried chicken. Everybody can make fried chicken. You can't make fried chicken like a Southern does.
Right.
Collard greens is the same way. Your hush puppies can't make them out here like you guys do them out in the States.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Now, I mean, not many people can say they actually worked in a slaughterhouse either. I mean, I find that to be, like, the really, really cool part. And I think it's an angle not many people either know about or even fewer have the experience with one. Care to discuss, like, a day in the life at a slaughterhouse? A day in the life. You know, they get, pun.
They come in alive, they go out dead.
Wow, there you go.
There you go. That's it.
Well, you said that you started out basically working like kind of in the office, but then you learned all about everything, and then you really started getting your, no pun intended, you got your hands dirty, and actually started doing the rending and all kind of stuff. I mean, that must have been like, wow, what am I doing?
Well, for a woman, yeah, it was different. It was different. It's a family business. My dad's dad had it, and my dad has grown up in the industry. He opened up a business out here in Canada, and that's where I learned. I started off young, so he brought me into the office to answer phones, and, you know, he says, listen, if you want to stay, you want to learn the business, you got to learn all aspects of the business. I said, okay, Dad, how hard can it be? It was hard, John.
I
packed hearts and livers and was grossed out by that, but had to do it. There was a time when beef had to be washed. I went and washed it. Whatever needed to be done, I had to learn it and understand
right.
all aspects of that animal coming in, not just taking him off a truck and saying, okay, it's going to be a steak tonight.
Right.
People want to know, how does it come that way? People go into grocery stores and just assume that that meat sitting on the counter is there magical.
Right.
It's not. Everybody's out to do a job, whether you're slaughtering an animal, whether you're a chef, it gets there somehow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Right. Oh, sure. I mean, I do a lot of shopping for the events where we do. We do, like, for the wings and stuff like that, we need mass quantities. And I don't know if they have them up by you, but we have restaurant depots kind of like dotting around the United States. And you go in there, and you get kind of an idea. I mean, they'll have the hanging sides of beef. They'll have the whole goats, gutted and all that kind of stuff. But they'll have the whole goats and the primal cuts and all kind of stuff. And you really get an appreciation for what these guys actually do. I mean, I've seen some of these guys on the meat saws and stuff like that. I mean, these guys are artists. They're absolute artists. I mean, you can lose a finger just by blinking wrong. And the fact that now how many years did you do that? You did that for quite a while, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. I started at my father's place 15, answering phones. And, wow. So I'm 40-something now, everyone. And I was there a good 25 years, I'm going to say, John.
Wow. Yeah, and I remember the email you sent me with the bio of you. I remember you're talking about how hard it really was. You kind of mentioned a little bit before how hard it was for a woman to break out into that zone. I can totally understand that. I mean, that seems like a man's job. I mean, you must have taken a little bit of heckling, I can imagine.
Oh, I took a lot of heckling. But the one thing I did have for me was, although I am the butcher's daughter, I was also known as the daughter. So that, take it easy. They had their fun with me. I'm not going to lie. They had their fun with me. But I learned it. And you're dealing with a lot of immigrants that come over that don't speak English. That's
right.
All they know is what they've done in the old country.
Right.
And you really got to respect that, what they do and how they come in every morning, crack of dawn, take that animal. Slaughter it, dissect it, skin it, put it together and make it look pretty for, the grocery store aspect.
Right. No, like I said before, it sounds like an absolute art form. It really does. Now, now you did that, as you were doing that, I think you started, your first place in the States was Virginia. Am I correct?
Virginia. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and while you're based in Virginia, your taste buds are pretty much awakened by the local cuisine. Here we go into the southern cuisine again. What are a few specific places in Virginia that people should seek out that really stood out for you? Are there any like restaurants or places to go that you would really? I mean, we probably have some listeners in Virginia tonight. I know there's a lot of them that'll be listening to this link after the show. And hey, everybody loves to hear about a new place they've never been to.
Well, I was located in Lynchburg. And
That's
a very small town, and there's not a lot of major restaurants out there. There's a lot of gas stations with, local mom-and-pop shops there.
Sure.
And and I'm going to tell you honestly, guys, I was really nervous to go into them at first. New area, but that's what I'm a foodie for. I went in. I'm going to tell you, it was some of the best food I've had to boot.
Cool.
Again, like I mentioned, fried chicken. Chili dogs are really big out there.
Right.
And I know everyone says, it's a chili dog, it's a chili dog. It's not. You got to have one in Virginia.
Right.
Again, your hush puppies. I never knew what a hush puppy was till I moved out there.
And you got to cook it in lard.
You do.
Yep.
Your grits, which, again, I never had grits. But I'm going to tell you something. I lived on grits. And collard greens out there. It was my favorite.
Collard greens. Oh, anybody, you better stem them leaves.
Yeah. Okay. And your sweet tea.
Okay. Too funny. Now, after Virginia, it was interesting. Then it was off to Missouri. I mean, I take it your dad or your granddad had a couple of different houses, slaughterhouses, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes.
So then it was off to Missouri, where you saw an almost unparalleled passion for ribs. As you personally saw there, ribs are kind of a way of life. Do you have any helpful hints on making good ribs? I mean, I imagine you probably experimented a little bit while you were there.
Oh, man. Well, I like a dry rib.
Yep.
So I like to boil mine, and then I'll smoke them. But
okay.
I don't put a lot of sauce on mine. Like, I boil them for a while, and then once I want the meat to fall off the bone. I don't want to have to tug at it. So I boil mine, and then I put them in the smoker, and I let them go. Now, out there in Missouri, you know, they know what they're doing. They take it seriously. So they put them in their smokers. They let those buggers smoke for hours on end.
Yep.
So if you guys live out there, you'll understand it. So you don't necessarily have to boil them, John.
Oh, no. Oh, I see. I don't. Personally, I don't. I'll rip off the silver skin and I'll put them in a smoker.
There you go. So you can do that as well.
Yep.
But I've also been known just to throw them in a smoker and let them dance and then come back and see them after a while. It's
exactly.
It's a personal preference. It's a personal preference for everybody. A lot of people like their ribs saucy. I'm not into a big saucy rib. I like a dry rib with just a little bit of sauce. I want to taste
it. Yep. There you go. Yeah, because I remember my friend Maggie's, my wife, a friend of hers lived in Nashville, and we were out there, a few years back. I think it was Nashville, and we went to the Rendezvous. It was kind of a famous place, and they really wanted to take us there. And I'd never really had dry ribs before. I'd made them here, but I never really had them out anywhere. I didn't think that was a big thing, so I got half wet and half dry. I'll tell you what, I steered right towards the dry. I'm not a big sauce person when it comes to ribs. A little bit's fine, but when it's overwhelming, like you go out to a Chili's or one of these you know cookie cutter Fridays or something like that, it's just dripping in sauce. I mean, there's barely any meat under the sauce. I cannot stand that. But
They do that for a reason.
Because the meat sucks. But
there you go.
But now we're going to switch gears a little bit here. Now you'd mentioned something really funny because you are a foodie and you do search out a whole bunch of different places and you love doing that because you have an awesome website and I really peruse the website a lot and you give some really good reviews and it seems like you go all over the place to check out new places. We spoke on the phone a while back. You have a funny habit when you go to a good restaurant by leaving a calling card. Care to explain? This is great. I love this.
My business card, when I go into a restaurant, I don't let a lot of people know who I am. A lot of critics go in, and they don't let people know who they are. I will simply enjoy the meal, and after I've paid the bill, I will leave a card with the bill, and on it it says, "You have just been slaughtered by the butcher's daughter." And on the back is our website, and it says, "Check out, see what we wrote about you."
I think
and
it's funny
either,
because you...
Sorry, it either screws people up, John. Like
people,
some restaurateurs will look at it and say, "Okay, what is this woman? Like, what's happening here?" And other people will laugh and say, "Okay, thanks. I'm gonna go to it." But some of them, they get a little freaked out. They're like, "Okay, what did you just do?"
Well, I was gonna say you try doing that in Jersey, and you're gonna get your terroristic threats. I mean, it's
this
is funny.
Jersey boys.
Oh my God! But no, that's just funny. And I mean, you've had a lot. You've gotten some good responses from restaurants on these, though, right?
Oh, I have. And, I'm out here in Burlington, of course, but I have been noticed a few times at a few festivals and a few restaurants that I have walked in. Some people have recognized me.
Right.
And other, you know, if I head to Toronto, I just leave the card. I just leave the
card. There you go.
And I'll get a couple emails from the owner, you know, but I'm going to tell you something, John. I love to eat, and I love a good restaurant. I just don't go in and peruse the food. It's all about the food, I understand, but it's also about the service, the atmosphere, your ambiance, your experience of what you've experienced when you've gone in there. And,
absolutely.
If you're going to knock me off my butcher block, you better make sure I'm going to fall hard.
Because, God, I love it.
I'm
going to
tell
funny.
You something. I'm going to tell you something. I've been to a few places where they've just been like, wow, they've been awful. But I still leave the card. People need to know.
That's cool. Hey, and then, hey, you're being honest. I mean, if your place sucks, you might as well realize it from someone else.
You're going to know it.
Yeah, and now we're gonna switch it up a little bit now again, because I definitely want to get this in. You briefly mentioned to me that you're actually thinking about coming out with your own line of products, which I find very fascinating, because with your background and stuff like that, you know what you're talking about, and I think these products are gonna do very well once they come out. I think it's absolutely true. Now we're gonna delve into a couple of them here and find out a little bit more. Now the name of this, I love the name, Meat Juleps, as opposed to Mint Juleps. Meat Juleps.
That's right.
And you said it's kind of a combo of a chutney and a sauce. I mean, I love the name. Absolutely love the name.
you
said it's for beef, chicken, pork, and buffalo, which I think is awesome. Now, is there one julep or is it a whole bunch of them?
Oh no! Right now, we've just developed three of them.
Okay.
So they can accompany. We try to do flavors that go with the seasons.
Okay.
In the summer, your taste buds are different more than they are in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So for autumn, we've done like a cranberry pomegranate meat julep, which will accompany more your porks or your chickens, an apricot mint, which again will do chicken.
Right.
And for the beef, we haven't really done one for the beef yet because we've concentrated more on the barbecue sauces.
Okay.
But we are always experimenting in our kitchen. We're always fooling around in there. With food,
that's
of course.
Kitchen, that's what kitchens are for. If you're not in the kitchen experimenting, you're using the kitchen
that's
wrong.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes.
Well, put it this way. When I first met Maggie, my wife, when I first met her, she'd burn water. But anyway, we go with that side from that. Now, you said you concentrate on the barbecue sauce. That was kind of the next one up here. You got a couple of them here. You got the Butcher's Daughter's Cattle Sauce. Now, that obviously, that's going to be a beef, like a beef barbecue sauce.
It'll be a beef barbecue sauce, correct. And,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, what I mean, the ingredients, I mean, what kind of ingredients are we looking at there to kind of set yourself away from the standards?
It's a mild sauce. It's got some garlic in it. It's got a little bit of heat to it, but I kept it kind of mild for, you know, the connoisseur that's not into, you know, jumping off a cliff into, like, our hot sauce, let's say, or, you know.
Right.
It's just a standard sauce.
Okay, okay.
With a bit of a kick, though, Johnny.
Oh, good. Hey,
see, you got my Canadian in me. Did you see that?
Take off. Now the next one's actually kind of fun. I love the name of it. Poultry juice.
Yeah, poultry juice is for the chicken.
just I mean, something about squeezing. I was going to say choking, but that would have been bad. Something about squeezing a chicken. It just comes to. another rim shot. What kind of ingredients are we looking at for the poultry?
The poultry juice, we've done like a honey garlic.
Okay.
And we're still experimenting with it because we want to come out with two of them. So right now we've just done a honey garlic poultry juice.
Okay.
We are experimenting with a couple of other flavors more or less for the winter. You know, a little bit of pumpkin, a little bit of alcohol here and there, whiskey. You know, we're fooling around. We're fooling around.
Good. Oh, no, actually blackberry brandy. Ooh.
See?
But anyway, and the third one will be a pork dip. Now that one, I cook a lot of pork at the house, and I want to know what's in that because that one really kind of piqued my interest.
Well, the pork dip's got a little bit of everything in it, John. Only because there are a lot of people that eat pork, and we've thrown a little bit of whiskey in it. We've thrown a little bit of bourbon in it.
Nice.
A lot of molasses, and it's got a kick to it. But it accompanies. We've thrown some mint in there. We've thrown some cilantro in there. It's a neat little sauce.
Now, I mean, would this be more of a finishing glaze, or would this be like a barbecue sauce for like the grill?
You know what? You could probably do both.
You could dip it,
or you can use it as a glaze.
Because on your molasses and stuff like that, usually molasses would be better on a glaze because you might have a chance of burning the molasses if you really cook it on high heat.
Yes, you're right, but not this one. Not this
one. I love it. I love it. Love it. Now, the next one up, which I use a ton of in this house, are the dry rubs. And you've got one, again, for pork, chicken, and beef. What's the pork one all about?
Well, I can't tell you what's in it, John. I can't give away my secrets.
Damn, I was
going
to try.
You Americans. Taking all the Canadians' ideas.
Listen to you. Oh, my God, you're funny. Oh, my goodness. Now, but, I mean, it does accentuate the pork. Each one of them, of course, accentuates the kind of meat that it's on.
Each one will accentuate, the different juices and the different meats.
Now, these would be more of a savory than a sweet, I would take it.
Savory. Absolutely savory.
Okay, cool. Now, I actually had their question written down here, but you said they had a kick. Have you ever considered a savory product with a good amount of heat?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh,
absolutely.
Fire it up.
Absolutely. Like I said, we're not finished yet. We're just getting started.
Because that's my realm. I like all things hot and spicy, and I'll buy a lot of stuff. I buy stuff from everybody, and I usually end up putting a couple of extra dashes of pepper in there just to kind of spice it up a little bit, not to change the flavor, just to kick it up a little bit. Now, how far along with the production are you? I mean, you're looking. I think you said an early next year release of all these.
Yeah, we're thinking February 2015. It could be. Couple months after that. I mean, you know, John, you do your own line of sauces, so it's a work in progress, but we're coming along good.
Good.
And they'll be available
on the
website.
If you have any questions about any of these, I'd either email me or just call me or when you got my number, give me a call. I'd be more than happy to answer your question as best I can. I mean, if it's a question I don't know, I can tell you who to go to ask. I mean, one of those kind of things. But I'm here to help because that's what this show is all about, is actually promoting the small business. Now, when you come out with all these, your line is out now, let's say it's on the shelves, are you just looking to stay in Canada, the Canadian distribution, or are you looking to kind of branch out internationally? I would imagine you can stay local at first.
I'm going to stay local. I'm going to sell them on the website and see how they go. I'm going to do a couple trade shows that I have coming up and stay local. Yeah, for a little bit. And then I got to run, eh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, I got to go to the States and move it along.
Yeah, there you go. And when I'm done, I will help you with that as well if you like. Now, let's see. One other thing you do a lot on the website as well is you love going to local food shows and helping out however you can. And you do a ton of the local shows. If not helping with them, at least going to them and giving them write-ups, the whole works. I find that very commendable. I mean, we do have a number of listeners in Canada probably listening tonight, as a matter of fact. Would you care to tell them some of your favorite local food events? I mean, you might tell something somebody doesn't know about and they'd love to go.
Well, I'm going to tell you, out here we have our Niagara Wine Country, and I do the Niagara Wine and Food Show every year. I go out and support the local vineyards with their different wine products and the food businesses out there. I don't do franchises, John. I like to keep it, like you said, the small businesses.
Yep.
I think the small businesses, they hunger for it. They got a more of a taste to work harder. Not that I'm saying the franchises don't, but they've got a team of people behind them, the franchises. The family business, because I came from one, I understand it.
Yeah, we call it grassroots. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, grassroots, that's exactly it. You hit it on the nose.
Yeah,
So I do the Niagara Food Show. There's a market out in St. Jacobs area. I head out there. And see, I look for different things, things that are just very odd, you know. We had a local
producer here. That's why you're on the show.
Here. That's right. I had a local producer here. You're funny, John, eh?
I try.
He brought in blue watermelons from China.
Blue watermelons?
Blue watermelons. They were square, John.
Oh,
and
that
I had
is seen.
To go and get one.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Well,
you know
why they make them square? No, because they're stackable.
They are. Yeah.
I swear to God, it's the most. I saw square. I've never seen blue, but I've seen square watermelons. It's the most bizarre thing you'll ever see in your life. It doesn't look right.
And they're perfect. Like they're perfect squares. Some of them.
Yep. Well, they seed them in boxes, and that's how they grow.
Wow. It was like wild. I was like, buddy, you got to give me one of those. I got to try it. And he did,
Well, now you've gotten your kids into the world of food as well.
My kid, one.
I thought you had two.
One, my filet now, mignon, just one.
Filet mignon, that's yes. Yeah, so oh man, now has he shown an interest in the kitchen?
He has. He really has.
Well, he doesn't have a choice.
And well, he does. Come on now.
Yeah.
He does. But he also does the shows with me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he's recognized by some of the vendors that that recognize us. And
very cool.
If they come out with a product, they say, here, you know, try it. You know, I'll take a photo with them and I'll post it. That's great. Yeah.
Now, I mean, does he inspire any of the product line that you're coming out with, or is he just doing his own thing?
No, he does his own thing. I'd like to come out with, you know, later on in time, of course, just a kids line because,
sure.
You know, ketchups are boring. Kids need they need a kick.
They do. I totally agree. Now, do you have any specific goals for the future of the Butcher's Daughter? Like, what are your plans for expanding your business? I mean, are you looking to, get a brick-and-mortar, like a storefront? Or would it be, I imagine it would be basically online at first. But, I mean, do you have any plans for maybe opening up a store or something like that down the line?
John, I'm going to tell you, I'd love to open a gourmet store. That is one of the things that I would love to do. Because not only do I love doing the sauces and such, but I also love to bake. I love to cook. I love to be in the kitchen and just do wacko stuff.
Well, that was one thing I forgot to mention. I mean, you don't just do restaurants and stuff. I mean, you do food trucks and like that too, which I think is very cool.
Oh, yeah.
But you do bakeries as well.
Oh, yes. I'll go anywhere. I'll do a bakery. Anything that's going to catch my eye it's just odd. You know, I mean, they're small businesses as well. So why not promote them? Why not, you know, go and say, hey, guys, look what I found in your town. You guys don't know
Absolutely.
It's here, but I know. So, yeah, I'd love to have a storefront. That is one of my goals down the line. And brick-and-mortar factory, yeah, damn straight.
I think it'd be awesome because I mean you could really let yourself go on that. I mean it comes down to the almighty dollar, but I mean you can really. I mean we've never had a store. We do all of our stuff through distributors, wholesalers, and we have a warehouse. We keep all of our stuff and like that. And our stuff is all online. I mean I would love to have my own place that I could call my own. But right now it's not in the cards because I got a regular 9-to-5 job and so does Maggie. Yeah. So it kind of sucks. But hey, one day.
People say you've got to crawl before you can walk. You got to walk before you can run.
Yep.
That's all I'm doing.
We're walking. I'm getting ready to run.
Yeah, but you know what I was going to say? You'll get there, just like me. Believe me. I mean, we're not we're go-getters. We're go-getters.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know, that's why. That's one of the reasons you're on the show because you're definitely a positive. You're definitely a positive. Now,
yeah.
I mean, have you ever think about writing up like a book with what you've done? You know, your travels and stuff like that. I realize some places that you've been to may close up shop and they'd still be in the book. But have you ever thought about doing something like that, like you know, the Butcher's Daughter's travels abroad or something like that?
I have. That's another thing that's kind of in the works.
Okay.
I'd like to get out to Italy. I'd like to get out to Spain, Brazil, and just see a few of those places. And
sure.
And then, yeah, quite possibly it will come out. I also think even just going to restaurants and the food trucks and such, it's also about the table. It's about the family. Bring the family back to the table, you know, and just cook a meal and have everyone sit down and you know, talk instead of texting.
You go anywhere now, it drives me absolutely nuts. You look over to Family of Four, the two parents are like on Thorazine, the kids are playing Angry Birds. It drives me absolutely nuts. I mean, it's supposed to be a family outing instead of everybody's sitting there, looking at whatever electronic gadget they got on the table. But let's see. Now you said are you going to be making the stuff on production? Are you going to be making it at home, or are you actually going to be getting a co-packer?
No, we're going to get a co-packer, and that's what we're working with right now. And we're just experimenting. We experiment in the kitchen, and then we try it, and then we bring it to the co-packer and say, okay, what do you think? How's this? What's that? Then he gives me his opinion, and then I tell him to shut up and do mine.
Nice.
That's just the way it is.
I love it. Oh man, let's see. Now what's what else we got here? Now, okay. That's one question. If you're doing a co-packer now, do you realize with a co-packer doing the international stuff, it's much better to have somebody in the States to if you have distribution into the States. I'm going to do a plug for our co-packer, Endorphin Farms. Hi, Adam. I know you're out there, but to have a stateside co-packer will cost you a lot less in the long run when it comes to fees and stuff like that going over the
right.
border if your stuff really
right.
does start to catch on in the United States.
Well, we'll have to give Adam a call, won't we?
Yeah, I'm way ahead of you on that one. But let's see what we got here. Let's see. Now, okay, here you go. So when you come to savory products, you said you like heat. Now, I mean, what are your favorite kind of peppers?
My favorite kind of peppers for heat after I
yes.
crush them up?
Yes, that was on the next sheet. I had a hard time. The sheets were sticking together.
Are you ready?
Shoot.
Okay. They're ghost peppers.
That's fine.
Okay. I crush
That's
them great. Up. I take some garlic. I take some
yep.
olive oil. I take a nice baguette. I toast that bad boy up, and I'm good to go.
Nice. Nice and simple. Keep it simple.
That's it.
Absolutely. Now, uh-oh.
Oh,
you hear that?
It did go fast.
I tell you what. Now, I think we're going to do a stage two on you after the release of your product line. I think that'd be a great idea.
Great.
Would you be up for that? Because I want to promote the hell out of that because you
I
know
would.
What the you're talking about.
I would, John. Thank you. And guys, thanks for listening. And if you're out there, go to the website, The Butcher's
Daughter.
Oh,
yeah. Thanks, Melinda. You're a darling. We will talk again. And hey, there's the music. Got to wrap it up. I'd like to thank Melinda Paletta from the Butcher's Daughter, our first and not last guest from Canada. I'd like to get her on for a follow-up a little while after she launches her product to see how she's doing. Go to her website. That's www.dabutchersdaughter.ca. Not only is the site well-made, but the content that is even better. This is John Dilley, president of DEFCON Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero horseradishes, and dry rubs, bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at www.defconsauces.com. So, until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody. Now, let's see if we can get this one right. Loud music, cue.
Give me two shots, we don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm on the one.
Just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.